Like stars in a disaster movie, we raced against the clock to find an unobstructed view during the Great American Eclipse of 2017. We dodged traffic and clouds to find the perfect spot, the tiny village of Makanda, a former railway hub turned artist community nestled deep in the forests of southern Illinois.
While other locations were overcast, this magical little hamlet had clear skies as the shadow of the moon dramatically covered the sun for a whopping 2.4 minutes. Today, we're giving you a first-hand account of witnessing a total solar eclipse at the point of highest totality.
Plus, President Trump stares into the sun during the solar eclipse.
A hospital in the UK turns down a donation from drag queens.
Bodybuilder Dallas McCarver chokes to death at the young age of 26.
And shout out to Australian drag queens Coco Jumbo, Vibe, and Ivy League, who saved a man from gay bashers. And of course, the queens were in full drag.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. In the 13 years of doing this podcast, we have never had quite an adventure like we had this Monday. Mark and I woke up at the crack of dawn, first spending the night in Champaign, Illinois, and we were racing down the highway, much like the protagonist in the movie Twister, chasing that black old sun as it came at us and chasing away the clouds to make sure that we were able to witness it.
Yeah, I kept thinking of that movie Twister because we're just like, we have to get somewhere, we have to get somewhere. And originally we had thought we'd go to Carbondale, which is in southern Illinois, and they said it would have a good totality there. Totality is when the moon's shadow covers up much of the sun for a certain period of time. But then we're like looking at the weather reports and they're saying it's going to be cloudy, it's going to be overcast. We're looking at St. Louis. They're like, oh, it's raining and thunderstorms in St. Louis. And then I'm following people on Facebook and they're just saying, oh, we're going into Kentucky. Now we're going into Tennessee. And we're just like, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go?
It was like we were, you know, chasing Godzilla as it was marching across. The shadow was marching across slowly across the nation. And we're like, we're not going to make it. I was petrified that we were going to be on the side of a highway stuck in gridlock traffic like the, you know, the movie 2012, was it?
Oh, my God. All of the zombie movies. Yeah. Everybody gets stuck at the side of the road and then they just have to walk and run places. And I figured, well, you know what? The sun is up big in the sky. You know where it is. You don't have to point at it like Donald Trump did. He's like, look, guys, it's the sun. And we're like, we all know where the sun
look
is.
Look, the sun. Trump actually looked at the eclipse without his glasses
he
on.
He did. People are like, don't look at it. And he looked at it anyway. But, you know, he's got the toughest retinas. They're really good retinas.
Really amazing. You know? Bigly retinas.
But I guess there's been a big search in Google, like people complaining about like having headaches and their eyes hurt because they did look at the sun.
I looked at the sun without my solar sunglasses just to see if it would hurt me. And of course it does. You know, you're like, dummy, don't stare. If it hurts your eyes, don't stare at the sun.
I kind of inadvertently looked. But even just, you know, when you're watching the eclipse and you just see like a little bit of it, like when it's even just a little bit of the sun shining through, even that hurts.
Oh, you mean when the shadow of the moon started covering the sun and you had a tiny thin sliver of the sun left, like a fingernail. Mm-hmm. It was painful to look at that.
That was painful.
And I was always taught to believe that when the sun, the shadow of the moon covered the sun fully, that you shouldn't look at that either. And when it actually happened, like the reaction of the crowd was like gasping.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, as I don't know, for you guys who may have not been able to witness such an event or have never seen or witnessed such an event, it was literally like the lights were turned off. And it was easy to look at the sun. It was comfortable. It was beautiful.
Well, because most of it was blacked out.
But it was this giant glowing ring in the middle of the sky that what you had, it, you know, you've as a child, you've seen pictures of an eclipse in books. You've seen pictures on the internet. And to actually see that hovering, glowing above you in the sky, this very cool, very calming,
very white,
ominous black and white image that's actually, you know, we expected the solar eclipse to be colored.
Yeah, I expected it to be kind of like have an orange glow, because I feel like all the photos you've ever seen of it, like the sun is kind of orangey looking in it. But it's like amazing because it's this black disc and then it's kind of just this white aura around it with solar flares coming out, these big like streaks of white light.
Yeah, I think the problem is that we're too brainwashed by the marketing of Kellogg's Raisin Bran and their little, you know, sun that puts two scoops of raisin in every box. Just for purposes, it's 1.5 scoops, just to be clear. But, you know, we have this cartoon idea of the sun being this yellow sphere with orange glowing flames around it. And when you actually see the sun with your own eyes, it's just this white ball of gas, just like Donald Trump.
You know, and finding McKenna was kind of interesting because we were trying to find different places. We were talking to people. I'd done some research online, and most people were in the Chicago area that wanted to see it. The closest place to go see it in full totality was Carbondale. And so everybody was heading there, and Carbondale was going to get like 60,000 people, they were thinking. And we're like, well, we could do it. But then we're like, there's going to be clouds in Carbondale. We might not see it. So let's at least kind of go south. And other people were saying Goreville. And so we looked, okay, we can go to Goreville or we can go to Makanda. And I had read about Makanda, and it was an old railway town, because I guess at one point in time it was a hub, because it was like a day's railroad ride from Chicago. So people would send their produce there and then they'd send the produce up here to Chicago. But when refrigeration came in,
it killed the town.
It killed the town, basically. And then in the 70s, it became like a bit of like an artist community. And so they have like a festival, a music festival every year, and they sell a lot of arts and crafts. But the music festival is kind of interesting, too, is that it is centers around the turkey vultures that come to town. And
it's a turkey vulture festival.
Yeah, right. And it's a music festival, and it's called the Turkey Vulture Festival because these turkey vultures come there and they roost there for like 2 to 3 weeks, and they don't know why. They all come to the forest and just hang out.
I would describe Makanda, Illinois, as a tourist destination for the Adams family. it's really weird little town. It's really not a town. It's more of a building on the side of a railroad. Mm-hmm. And it's very eclectic. It makes all those, you know, radical fairy communes look cheap by comparison or something. It was really weird. It was a very eclectic little hub of stores and homes just nestled into the side of the mountain by a railroad. Yeah. And I was reading actually that it had been a thriving community in the past, but they've somehow managed to have a lot of fires and
they lost some of the destruction. An actual boardwalk there. So it looks like an old West town because it's all these buildings next to each other. And then they have like this wooden boardwalk right in front of it, and so people would come there. And it's actually the home of Senator Paul Simon, who is, you know, you might remember him, he had a little bow tie and
Makanda, Illinois. Makanda, Illinois is an artist community. It also employs a lot of hunky young football players from Southern Illinois University to run the lodge and the resort in the forest preserve that surrounds the little town. Yeah. And so Mark and I, being the thirsty folks that we are, were very pleasantly surprised to see a lot of good-looking young men staffing that
the big city place. Lodge. Giant City Lodge.
Giant City Lodge. Mm-hmm. So I want to shout out to Mikey, the general manager of the Giant City Lodge, who they had, he was a football star, and they had photos of him framing the restaurant, and he was also the man who sat us down. And I was like, I felt like Mae West coming into an old railroad town. It's like, and what do you do? Oh,
Giant City, eh?
Oh, that eclipse was not the only beautiful sight that I got to see in Makanda.
I thought it was interesting, too, when we're in Makanda. Because, you know, it's an artist community, so there's some hippy-dippy people there, people burning sage, selling jewelry. And then also, for whatever reason, there was a couple of people wearing tinfoil hats. Yeah. One person doing it ironically.
And yeah, the woman who was doing it, she looked like she was concerned that something was going to fuck with her head, so she put on tinfoil to protect herself.
Well, because the thing is, if aliens are going to come, they're probably going to come during an eclipse because it'll probably hide what they're doing, right?
But the problem with that strategy is, let's just argue that the tinfoil does save your brain from getting scrambled by aliens. What's next? Then you're surrounded by all the people who didn't cover their heads with aluminum foil. I'd rather be with the zombies than fighting them. Doesn't that make more sense? I mean, at least I'm...
Like how you're just ready to throw your humanity away. It's just like a drop of a hat.
I welcome my new alien solar eclipse overlords. But and so there was another gentleman who seemed like he was more... had a better sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And so we took a picture of him. And you guys can see it on our website, feastoffun.com. There was a young entrepreneur... by the name of JR, not to be confused with the character from the TV show Dallas. And he was selling solar eclipse charge crystals. Mm-hmm. And his older brother was quite a handsome fellow as well.
He was a handsome fellow. And I saw the kid out there. I'm like, what are you doing? Because he had a paper bag, like a grocery bag, and he was wearing as a hat, you know, to cover his head. And then he had the glasses, the $1 or $2 solar glasses that everybody had. And he had that paste on them. We'll have a photo up of that as well. So he kind of like looked as like when you dressed up like as a robot as a kid.
Yeah.
And then he's got these crystals out there. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm charging them by the power of the solar eclipse. And I'm just like, well, all right, I'll take one.
And so we bought one and we're going to give it to Tracy. Yeah. Tracy Tyler, sure, from the podcast. Because
that's something I think she would like.
Tracy's now a pagan witch, yeah, right? So she's casting spells. Mm-hmm. So I think a bona fide, documented quartz crystal that has been exposed to full solar eclipse might actually do some good. A lot of astrologers are saying on the internet that the Donald Trump was born the year of a solar eclipse. He's a Leo, and his sign says that a solar eclipse when he's becoming president spells out destruction.
Ooh.
And
we're already there, right?
We're already there. And yet, folks that are supporters of Trump, right wingers, Nazis, Republicans, is there any difference? Mm-hmm. They're all arguing that because the solar eclipse began in the year that Trump became president, and there's going to be another one in 2024. The year he leaves presidency.
Gosh, I hope not.
That he, it is divine providence that he will be president for 8 years.
It could happen. You know, these people could vote for him again and people will just stay home and be like, you know, butter emails.
And that is why astrology is bullshit, honey, because you can either argue the glass is half full or half empty. And when it comes to Trump, you know, there are not two sides to this story. It's a pretty distressing thing. I'd like to think of the solar eclipse as a beautiful sensation. The totality, I've never witnessed that ever. And I urge anybody who is alive still or able to go to the solar eclipse in 2024 to do so, because there's not really going to be something like that in the North American continent for another 100 years.
What's interesting, too, about Mikanda is Mikanda was in the one of the highest points of totality on this path. But the path in 2024, it will also be on that. So they actually have like this X marked on in the town of where the next one is coming, or where this one's coming and where the next one will be. So it's kind of like there's a special little thing, right? In this
I'm
town.
A little skeptical about that. Because I'm like, it seems a little bit convenient. I still have to get the receipts and the timestamps to make sure
the orange spray paint.
They had an orange line running through the middle of the town. They're like, this is the cosmic center of the solar eclipse. But I gotta say, when we were there and we saw the sun turn off like a switch, and suddenly you could see Venus up in the sky, and if you were so dazzled by the solar eclipse and the corona of the sun that it was easy to not notice, and I certainly like just saw it for a second is the Mercury on the left hand side. And it's only until after looking at photos of the solar eclipse that you could see that there was, you know, the very rarely seen Mercury was actually visible during the event. But it was, and you know, everybody said during a solar eclipse, don't forget to look down to look for the shadows, the that snake around in the ground. Of course, I wasn't I was just so dazzled.
I kind of looked for shadows on the ground, but I didn't really see much. Now, what was kind of interesting was the light that would come through the leaves of the tree on the ground when the moon was going in front of the sun as like a partial eclipse. You'd see like these little half moons on the ground, because I guess what would happen is the light going through would kind of have the same effect as you would have with a pinhole camera. Mm-hmm. And then it would just kind of display what was happening up in the sky. And that was really amazing to see.
Well, it's that the sun had an identity crisis, mm-hmm. and believed it was a banana for most of that morning. And so until it became that full eclipse, mm-hmm. it had this beautiful banana, semi moon like shape. Mm-hmm. Casting on the ground.
And when it got dark too, that we were expecting it to like get really kind of like cold, like it was going to drop 30 degrees, and it didn't really feel like it got cold, but beforehand it was hot and it was muggy. But then during the solar eclipse, you're like, oh, it's not really super hot and I'm not sweating like a pig anymore.
Yeah, it was like air conditioning from God
for those few minutes, and then it got hot and muggy again. But also too, like the cicadas, you could hear them, or crickets started making noise. But I didn't see. My sister said she saw like the mosquitoes came out in Tennessee, and the swallows came out to feed on the mosquitoes during that time.
Ooh.
I know, but I didn't really see any of that. And there was a dog in our vicinity. I'm like, let's see this dog if it freaks out. And the dog was just sitting there like, well, what? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, if your pets don't change their behavior at night as they do during the day, they're probably not going to respond. Mm. And there wasn't any birds that I could observe that were reacting to it. So I wasn't able to see that, but it was just this beautiful sensation. It was a once in a lifetime experience. And, again, I urge everybody who's listening to the show, go to the path of full totality. And it's going to be
nothing, baby. All or nothing.
Lubbock, Texas, in 2024. Mm-hmm. We can go to see that with my mom.
I can actually go to my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania. My sister's having a party in the backyard. It's already planned because it'll be in Erie. So the X, because you know how it came from like the northwest to the southeast. This is coming from the southwest to the northeast.
So it's actually going to be in your sister's backyard.
So it's like an X again, So that's why, the town that we were in, that's why they were like, they kept talking about having that X going on.
X marks the spot. Mm-hmm. Wear your tinfoil hats, people. What was your reaction to seeing the actual full solar eclipse when you actually saw it?
Well, it was just something I'd wanted to see for such a long time, because there was a solar eclipse when I was a kid and it got covered by clouds. So I was just like, I'm such a nerd in that sense, because it was our little nerd vacation to go and see this. That was just, I was just amazed by it. It was a wonderful feeling to see something in the cosmos to happen like this, because like, what do we ever really see? I'm sure we see stars in the sky at night. We do see comets, but something like this, it's so grand.
It was grand. It made the sun feel bigger than it is. It's also something, as human beings, obviously we rely on the sun for our existence. Mm-hmm. All life on Earth relies on the sun for its existence. And to have that momentarily turned off in such a dramatic way makes you question your very reality, your very existence. And and you're just like, after the first minute, you're like pleasantly dazzled and surprised. And after that second minute, you're like, okay, you can come back now.
I had faith. Well, yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a death there, right?
A test.
This could be it.
I didn't want to be stuck in a little, small town of Macanda, Illinois.
I'm just saying it was magical.
It was magical, but, if disaster struck, there was not enough food there. Now, some people on the internet said that do not eat during a solar eclipse because the food can become poisonous. Mark and I both had some steak sandwiches during the solar eclipse, and we can report to you that we're still alive and did not
believes that?
Indian people from India believe that eating food during a solar eclipse,
because it's not solar charged,
it turns the food into poison. Yeah. And
no, that's nuts.
Google it, girl. You have a computer in front of you.
I believe you, but I just think that, it's probably just a fun thing to say.
No, some people sincerely, very, very deeply believe that eating during a solar eclipse is a terrible thing to
do. I'm just so glad we got to McCandid too, because it's like we were thinking about, like, because Carbondale was our original destination, and the people in the stadium, I guess they'd watched it. 60,000 people showed up, or I don't know how many people
were
there.
They were fucked.
But a cloud came in and blocked out at least a minute of the totality. And
but the worst part was the first minute of the totality. So the most dramatic experience is having the lights turned off, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't get to witness that. So I felt really bad for them.
And then I have a lot of friends that live, you know, that work in the Loop here in Chicago. And of course, you know, here in Chicago is only like 80%. Mm-hmm. But it was cloudy here, so a lot of people didn't see it. Now, if you are along the lakefront, you may have seen some stuff. I have a friend at the dog beach and he saw some of it.
A couple in South Carolina named their baby girl Eclipse in honor of the awesome astronomical event that took place on the day she was born. Now, she wasn't born at 1:20 p.m. Mm-hmm. at the point of totality. She was born at 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But Freedom and Michael Eubanks in South Carolina decided to call their baby girl, instead of Violet, to call her Eclipse anyway. The mother said, "I kind of felt like it was meant to happen, to have her born on this day. It was just meant to be, to call her that name. We're probably going to nickname her Clipsy."
What terrible parents. You know, maybe like your middle name Eclipse or something like that, but your first name Eclipse.
I like Violet Eclipse. That sounds like a very creative and fun name. Why not? And then you can call her Clipsy, or you can call her Violet.
Solar Eclipse.
My father's sisters all have astrological or, you know, celestial phenomena names. Mm-hmm. Sol, S-O-L for sun. Clara Luz, which is clear light. Mm-hmm. One of the other sisters is named Luz, light. Edies, which is the rainbow.
Clara Luz and a Luz?
Yeah.
What the hell? Your family is so weird.
And Estrella, which means star.
Yeah, this is rainbow, right?
And Estrella. Mm. And guess what Estrella named her daughter? Estrellita.
Nuh-uh.
Truth.
Not just like
Estrellita. Yeah.
Is that a nickname?
No, that's her legal name, Estrellita.
Little Star.
Little Star.
That's a terrible name.
Well, it's maybe not to you, but to other people, it's the names they want to have. You're like, anything other than Joe Smith and Dick and Jane, otherwise your names are horrible.
Eclipse also, you know, this is a beautiful kind of thing, but it also, eclipses can have negative connotations. You know, when you say something has been eclipsed, it's been blocked out.
If it's bad, why do they name the gum and the cars Eclipse? Mm. It's because they're sensational.
Ah.
Because they are events. Mm-hmm. Because they're stunning. When I come into a room, all the guys come running. Take a look at me, loser, because, baby, I'm stunning, stunning, stunning.
Listen, if I ever met Eclipse in person, I'm sure she'd be a lovely little girl.
Yeah, you'd be ragging on people with creative names. Now, you married one of them.
If they gave birth to a boy, do you think they would have named the boy Eclipse?
Well, what is the matter? Let the gender of the child determine who they are. Maybe this child will be gender nonconforming. That's Maybe true. They might have a different gender identity.
And then she'll grow up, and she'll be, or he'll grow up, or however.
They'll
grow up and be soul. They'll be like, I'm changing it from Eclipse to the sun.
I support people to change their names, do whatever, call your pronouns or genders or whatever makes you happy and makes you feel like a self-fulfilled, actualized person. Free to be you and me, baby.
That's right.
I don't know how many times I could say that on the podcast, but I don't feel like even my husband hears me out. You don't. Well, it's just the thing is,
I know so many people that, like, I know people that I grew up with that just their parents gave them terrible names. And so it's just kind of like they constantly have to deal with the repercussions from
You think me being named Fausto was not a burden in my life living in a Western American world?
Yeah, but
where everybody's names were Juan or David or Esteban or even Dionisio. But Fausto is a weird name and also has connotations with the devil in a Christian country. OK. And for Americans, it's like, what the fuck is this name? I can't even pronounce it. Fausto. It's a hard thing to do. And I work in customer service. Every day I have to tell my name to at least 20 people and they all go, what? And I go, my name is Fausto. What? And I go, it means lucky in German. Oh, and literally lie. I have
give him your hookup name, Foster.
That's the name I say. I tell people, I say Foster, mm-hmm. when I don't want to spend 5 minutes mm-hmm. explaining what my name is mm-hmm. to them. It's not an easy thing to do. And at first, when I was a young person, I felt I was cursed. I felt that I had been bestowed upon this awkward, weird name by my mother to be an outcast, to be a misfit mm-hmm. for the rest of my life. I saw the movie The Last Starfighter, and I fell in love with its hero, Alex.
Oh, and I wanted Alex to be, was so cute.
He was really cute. And I wanted to be named Alex. Mm-hmm. For a while, I was like, you guys are all going to call me Alex. And my mother's like, okay, Alex.
And how it was long did that last?
It well, lasted about a week.
But you also had a cousin named Alexandra.
Alexandra, right. Yes. And I liked her name. I thought okay. it was a beautiful name. But this is definitely in conscious mind of Alex. I bought a flannel shirt and a white t-shirt. And in the hot Puerto Rican weather, 90 degree tropical hot weather, I was wearing a red flannel long sleeve shirt with a white t-shirt, just like the character Alex did in the movie Last Starfighter. I was into that movie. I was like,
it was a good movie for a little boy.
And so this is the plot of the movie Last Starfighter. Okay. This kid is living in a shitty trailer park town but he has, of course, a smoking hot girlfriend, and he gets really good at playing this video game, and he makes it past this like bonus round. And it turns out that the video game is a recruiting tool, a cosmic recruiting tool put in the small town by a cosmic mobster who then comes to the town to recruit Alex to join the intergalactic army. Meanwhile, the bad guys also are onto the fact that Alex is really, really good at this game, and so they come to try to kill him. And, of course, Alex saves the day and becomes the great white savior mm-hmm. to all, not just humanity on Earth, but all life in the cosmos.
Leave it to the white teenager.
The white man mm-hmm. will save us all with a good video. So, you know, of course, as kids playing video games in the 80s, you know, we were like, oh my God, I better learn how to play these video games because I may get recruited into some cosmic war. Mm. You know, I thought the movie was ridiculous at the time, but
I liked it.
I liked it. I thought it was fun. It was romantic. It was beautiful. And Alex was gorgeous. And so I wanted to have that name because I wanted to escape this world that I had been put in, which as to be this misfit and this outcast, this weirdo, but it turned out to be a blessing. It turned to be a gift. It was a gift from my mother to me to say, don't take anything for granted. Examine everything that you see in life. Cherish everyone. Don't leave any stone unturned. Stop and smell the roses. Stop and enjoy and drive, you know, hours with your husband in terrifying bumper-to-bumper traffic to see this stunning, glorious solar eclipse that most people didn't get to see because they had not managed to mm-hmm. dodge the weather, dodge the clouds. St. Louis didn't get some to see it. Chicago didn't get to see it.
And some people don't even care. There are people like on Facebook, and my mother was complaining because she was talking to her neighbors back in Pennsylvania, and they're just like, I don't care about the solar eclipse. And my mom's just like, who are these people that I live around that they don't even care? I mean, that this celestial event's happening, and they're not even going to go outside and look at it.
The moral, the point that I was trying to bestow upon the audience is like, don't look at the things in your life that you feel like are holding you back. Those things might actually be gifts. They might be blessings to make your life extraordinary and magical and amazing.
Oh, that's very sweet.
You know, that big nose, they've done studies, people with giant noses filter the air. If you have a tiny little nose, you're more likely to die sooner. Mm-hmm.
So when drag queens contour their nose to make it smaller, they're contouring death into their life.
Tall people die on the average sooner than shorter people mm-hmm. do. And really attractive people tend to be more paranoid because everybody's hitting on them their entire lives. And so they grow to be mistrusting of others. Oh, I should know, you know. So the things that you feel like are holding you back in life actually might be the greatest gift that you are bestowed upon by cosmic luck. Just like the solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. It was lucky for us to discover. You discovered Makanda. It was magical. It was as if somebody It was as if a screenwriter had written the perfect place for you and me to witness this event. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever had something that extraordinary happen.
It was definitely kind of felt like, you know, in the movie Jaws when everybody was like, the beaches at Amityville.
It did. It felt like a movie. Amity.
And you're just kind of like, this is the kind of thing where people like a murderer is going to happen during this or some kind of tragedy is going to happen. But, you know, we can't stop it because the solar eclipse is coming and there's tourists in this town.
And a train's coming to run somebody over. It was a dramatic, stunning, amazing little town. If you're a screenwriter and you're looking for a place to set your next movie, Makanda, Illinois might be a really amazing place to do so. Sad news, bodybuilder Dallas McCarver died at the young age of 26. He choked to death on... I wanted to make the joke and say on my dick, but I'm not a terrible person, so I'm not going to say that.
You're not going to make light of someone's death.
I'm not going to do that.
That's very big of you.
Thank you so much. Know. But he was like, this gorgeous, gorgeous man. It's also kind of funny,
too, like anybody's going to be able to choke on that.
But so, yeah, he said to his girlfriend, like, hey, I'm going to make dinner. Mm-hmm. I love you, baby. Bye. And he hung up the phone and he was eating. And I guess he choked on some food and they found him like face down on a plate.
Oh, my God.
And so they fished out the food from his throat and gave him CPR. It was too late.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the lack of oxygen to your brain can cause brain damage in just a matter of minutes. Yeah, it's like with that kind of situation. It's like, what do you do? Do you kind of like run outside? I mean, there is, I think, some kind of maneuver. You can give yourself a Heimlich maneuver or something. I forget what it is you do. But
slam your back against the wall.
Is that the thing to do?
I mean, that's something I've done before, you know, chew your food. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, he had like bronchial problems. I guess he had collapsed on stage because he had a pulmonary infection.
Oh, really?
So he had some upper body respiratory problems.
So he had some things going on there. Yeah. And that's what will do it.
But damn, honey, you know, leave a beautiful corpse. I mean, he was a stunning giant bodybuilder, 300 pounds.
Oh, my God. That's a big guy. 300
you're going to have to bury him in a piano box.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The piano crate.
Because what else do they tell you is like when you're choking or something, like they people like they cut a hole like in their trachea. Is that what it is?
I think that would be a very bad idea if somebody's choking to death.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what they tell you to do.
With a penknife?
If you can't get the obstruction out and then you put like a straw in there so they can breathe through that.
You're going to fuck up a person even more. They're like, I was just joking. Now you stabbed me into the throat.
Well, it's, you know, that's what they teach you in first aid.
I don't know, man. I'd just be
that's
like,
that's happened to me before, Heimlich though. When I've started choking on something or it goes into your lungs and like I'm home alone. I'm like, oh, my God, is this it? Am I going to die?
Yeah. When I was a kid, my dad was a big believer in taking fistfuls of vitamins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had every vitamin known to mankind. And he would just, like, most people, you know, take two or three at a time and swallow some liquid. He would just shove them all into his mouth and guzzle them down with some water. Mm-hmm. Well, one day, the gelatin and the vitamins stuck to each other. And he started choking. And he fucking passed out and collapsed on the dining room table. And we're like, oh my God, our father's gonna die right now. It was.
And you guys just all watched as your father collapsed.
We don't know what to do. We're like 10 years old or something. We're looking at my dad and he's like, you know, and you're just like, oh my God, what the hell? Luckily, he survived.
Yeah. So it just, the pill came out or something?
Yeah, he choked it out and it was like a B complex and a vitamin C pill had kind of stuck to each other. But get this.
What?
My younger sister grew up to be one of those people like us, you know, that eats giant fistfuls of vitamins. Mm-hmm. And one day I'm at her house and she's taking the vitamins and she almost chokes to death on me. And I'm like, did you not learn anything from watching your father almost die? Mm-hmm. You take those vitamins, you take two or three at a time. Chew your food, people, please.
Sometimes I can take a bunch of vitamins at a time, and other times I take them a little bit. My brother, my sister was eating steak once at dinner, and she started choking, and so my brother gave her the Heimlich, and a little piece of steak came flying out and landed like right in the middle of the table, and we're like, wow, that really works. There was a hospital in the UK turned down a donation of £2,500 from a group of men dressed in drag as nurses, and they were pushing a bed around town collecting money for the hospital. And the hospital told them, please don't do this. And they're like, well, we're going to do it anyway. And then they did it, and here's the money. And they're just like, we don't want the money. We asked you not to do it. You went ahead and did it. And now if we took the money, it would be against our thing. So I guess somebody had written a letter from somebody from the hospital said, the presentation of men dressed as female nurses in a highly sexualized and demeaning way is wrong, very outdated, and insulting to the profession.
Oh, so they didn't want the money because the nurses were too sexy. I'll take the money. You know, hey, yeah. Listen, we got a countdown.
Hospital bills.
Coming in the coming weeks, Cooking with Drag Queens, Kickstarter Season 3, an episode with Cynthia Lee Fontaine making Puerto Rican lasagna. We call it pastelón, which is an amazing dish. This is one episode of Cooking with Drag Queens that is guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Aww.
And a song in your heart. We're going to be going despacito into the life of Cynthia Lee Fontaine, taking you from her home in Austin, Texas, all the way to the Puerto Rican Pride Parade here in Chicago, back into our kitchens as we make a dish that is near and dear to my heart and to Cynthia Lee Fontaine's stomach. And it's quite delicious and very unique Puerto Rican dish that is our version of a classic meal. So definitely check that out. And we got some amazing behind the scenes interviews with the top drag queens in the world of comedy. We took their video cameras into backstage into Sasha Soprano's Queens of Comedy show, where we got to chat with Coco Peru and Alaska Thunderfuck. We asked Willem Belli why DVW.
And he gave us a different answer than the last time, right?
Every single time he gives us a different answer. Why they split up? He gave us the real answer.
Oh, this time's the real answer.
I think that was the real answer. Finally. Tell us the truth. And you guys will see the truth or hear the truth. Watch the truth. And it's only available first to people who donate to the Cooking with Drag Queens Kickstarter. So you can't see it unless you actually give us like $1 or $3 or something.
And we're asking all the people that support Cooking with Drag Queens and support this podcast to make your pledge on the first day, because it really helps with those kind of algorithms. It lets people know that this is a viable project, and then we can kind of see where we go from there.
So you can send us an email, mail@feastoffun.com, and say, hey, I want to know when the first day is going to be, but we're going to start doing a countdown in the coming days. And it's going to happen, and it's going to be amazing. And if we manage to go over our request of $20,000, we're going to turn it into a drag queen cooking competition where the queens battle each other for the crown.
Because queens can really fight.
Yeah,
and so we're going to fight it out.
The concept is we're going to give them like really ridiculous, fun tasks. And we're going to bring back some of the more popular girls from the series. We're also going to DragCon in New York City.
Yay!
Woohoo! And we're bringing the video cameras. And I just chatted with Trixie Mattel, who's going to give us a an exclusive interview.
Oh, yeah?
About her new TV show on Vice.
Are they calling it that?
No, they're calling it the Trixie and Katya show.
Oh.
Or the Katya and Trixie show. I'm not sure which one it is.
Katya and Trixie. Trixie and Katya. I think it sounds better, Trixie and Katya, right?
I think it's better to put Trixie first.
Well.
But yeah, so Trixie's going to give us a behind-the-scenes interview on her amazing life as a drag queen and her new TV show. What's it going to have? What's going to be new? It's going to be on Vice. And you get to watch it on television or online, and it's going to be, it's basically, you know, but on steroids, or in this case, estrogen.
Estrogen. And RuPaul's Drag Race got picked up for another season on VH1, and also for... All-Stars is going to be on VH1, and that's going to premiere in the early of next year, and then
the early months of next year,
so like January or February, and then season 10 will be sometimes probably like in the spring, March, April, May.
Dee, We have breaking news. Breaking news, folks.
What?
Untucked is also going to be on VH1. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to World of Wonder's YouTube channel? It's going to continue to be an experimental hodgepodge of shows, and you know that's where came from.
Sure, and those, and I got, you know, when you look at the numbers too, what Untucked get compared to some of the other shows? I mean, some of the other ones, the Toot or Boot, do just as well as those other ones do.
And so I think that that's a great place for them to sort of experiment and give some of these queens who have a lot of talent a chance to shine and create a platform, because, you know, certainly Trixie and Katya are now superstars and have their own TV show. And of course, there's rumors that, you know, Trixie Mattel will be in All Stars, which we can no confirm or deny. But it's certainly they'd be fools not to have her on the series, on the All Stars. You know, and certainly maybe Trixie and allegedly who's the other one? The Shangela are going to be fighting for that crown.
Ooh.
That's going to be a difficult choice.
That would be
choice.
My top two picks for that, for that, from the roster that I've seen.
And that's certainly, you know, I feel Alaska versus Katya is a much, it's a very close call. But with Trixie and Shangela, that is like two very different drag queens fighting for the same spot. Mm. And so it's a very different dynamic. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, Trixie Mattel is not going to be, you know, Mimi, I'm first in that classic scene.
She will not get a drink splashed on her.
Why? Because I can have my own dresses. Thank you very much. And I could have a sugar daddy if I want to, but I don't need to have a sugar daddy. Thank you very much. That's Shangela.
Little clap back there.
Yeah. So every line that you do, you have to clap with your hands to bring your point across. Do you understand what I mean?
Speaking of drag queens, let's give a shout out to some Australian drag queens: Coco Jumbo, Ivy League, and Vibe, who were saw a gay guy be almost gay bashed, and so they just jumped in and took care of the situation. A homophobe was walking down the street calling people faggots, and a guy turned to him and said, "Hey, you know, this is not the area for you to do this kind of stuff, because this is a gay area of town."
And what kind of neighborhood should we be screaming homophobic threats to? I think it seems like a very appropriate neighborhood to do it, because, honey, they got their asses whooped. And these girls, they did it in full
drag.
These
girls were, they were munching on some kebabs, and they were like, "Let me put this doner kebab down." And then they went over and they're like, "No, girl, you are not doing this here."
And that is why drag queens gotta eat, because you gotta build up your strength in case you gotta come out and you know, fight the bad guys.
Well, the thing is, you know, they think you're a big sissy, and the one guy is just like, "Listen, I used to play rugby, so I can, you know, I can tackle a guy like nothing."
That's the thing about it is, you know, some gay guys like see a drag queen and they're like, "Oh, I don't want to have sex with that person. It's not masculine enough for me." You know?
Sure.
And I'm like, you know, drag can be an identity. It can be a costume, too. You know, anybody can be a drag queen. A drag queen is anyone who transforms themselves into a beautiful creature of their own imagination. And some people have an amazing, vivid, technicolor, sparkly imagination. And drag is a state of being. It's a costume that can be put on. It can be turned off. Gender can be like water in your sink. Sometimes you like it hot, hot, hot. And sometimes you want it ice cold. And for some folks, you know, gender is some days you feel like some hot water, and sometimes you feel like a little bit lukewarm, and sometimes you want it cold. But
it's a, you know, it's a common complaint to hear from a lot of guys on Facebook or social media. It's like, "Oh, this guy's so into me, and then he finds out I'm a drag queen, and then he doesn't want me anymore."
Well, maybe because he's worried you're going to steal his tips. Maybe he's a drag queen, too. And he's like, "I don't want to be competing for wigs and dresses, you know." Listen, Mark and I both dress up in drag. And sometimes we will see the perfect dress and get into horrible arguments about it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's why you have to do what like the Boulay brothers do, is you just they don't argue about who's wearing what because they both wear the same thing.
That can be hard though too, because you're like, now it's gonna be pink, now it's gonna be red, you know, it's like who decides what you're gonna both wear? And maybe one of those Boulay brothers is being bullied by the other Boulay brother.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's like, yes, dear, we'll wear the cat suit with the tarantula print. Whatever you say, dear.
But isn't that how all relationships go?
I mean, Mark and I went to Payless shoe store one time and we were trying to like try on shoes. And drag there was this, shoes. You know, women's shoes that I wanted something comfortable, but also a little bit sexy.
And so you were like, your first thought was like Payless.
Listen, I'm not made out of money. And so we went to Payless and we found this perfect pair of shoes that fit me and Mark. And I let Mark have it because I'm that kind of person. I said, look how good you look in those shoes, honey. You look like the hippos in Fantasia dancing in those shoes. You look so good. Look at you dancing around like a queen on the scene. And did people like it or not? Didn't they think that you were gorgeous?
They thought I was beautiful. They did.
They said, look, baby, you are beautiful.
You're stunning.
You're beautiful. You're a transformation into a divine goddess of, you know, when they call you divine and goddess, they're.
I want to remind folks that this show is made possible by your support.
What?
If you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. Do not forget to follow us on Kickstarter, and that way you'll get a notification of when we launch.
Go to kickstarter.com, search for Feast of Fun, and follow us. So what did we learn on today's show? Staring into the solar eclipse is okay as long as it's a total solar eclipse.
Yeah.
If it hurts your eyes, don't look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Obstacles are a blessing. Drag queens gotta eat.
Mm-hmm.
But for crying out loud, chew your goddamn food.
Oh.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Oh, that's so sad.
What? Chew your food?
Yeah.
It's important to chew your food.
Well, you don't. Maybe he did chew the food. It just went in the wrong area or something.
I'm not saying that the reason he died. I'm saying, you know, you can prevent.
It's also good for your digestion.
It's good for your digestion. Mm-hmm. You got to build up your strength on it because you don't know when you're going to have to, you know, take off your earrings, take off your high heel shoes, and remind the haters that you're not just a queen. You're also a warrior.
Mm-hmm. A gender warrior.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.